For 91.3 WUKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. As a faculty member in the College of Medicine who teaches medical students and residents, I can tell you there's a lot more to treating patients than just picking the right antibiotic or knowing which surgical technique to use. My guest today is Dr. John Ragsdale, fellow UK faculty member in internal medicine, who has made a study of microfacial expressions, that is, a physician's ability to read his or her patient's facial expressions in order to deliver better care.
I think I got interested in it more at a personal level. There was, I think the first time I ever heard of that field of interpreting facial expressions and micro expressions, there was actually a TV show that was on at the time called Lie to Me, where this famous anthropologist, they'd kind of transformed his work for entertainment purposes of solving cases and that sort of thing. But I got interested in it and started reading some of the original work by Paul Ekman, who's the one that kind of founded this whole field. And I thought, wow, this would be really useful as I'm seeing patients in clinic and on wards, and this could be a really helpful skill set to detect emotion that I'm probably missing otherwise. And so I became fascinated in it, and I thought, well, I think this is useful. I wonder if other people would. And so I got a group together, and we put a workshop together and did it at a national meeting, and it went over really well. And so then we were asked to do it at other places, and we thought, hey, maybe we have something here. Maybe we should study it as we're giving it to all these different groups.
Is this something in line with what sometimes I think psychotherapists and others might call attentive listening or expansive listening, that type of thing? Or are we talking about something different?
I'm not as familiar with those terms, but I think it probably is. The terms I see more are talked about decoding and encoding, where you take it's both how you express emotion, but how you are receptive to and pick up on emotion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the broader skill set of nonverbal communication, both mm-hmm. how you express communication nonverbally, but also how you receive it from others, and in particular your patients.
And given the wide diversity of our patient population and ever-increasing diversity, is this something that crosses cultural and linguistic lines?
Yeah, it is. And that's something that I think surprises people. It surprised me when I was first learning about this, is I think a lot of us kind of just inherently believe, oh, well, how you express emotion must be different in every country, in every culture, different generations. And to some degree, that's true. The amount you might express it or the situations are different, but the actual facial expressions themselves are surprisingly not. And that's why Ekman's work was so pioneering, is he studied this Foray tribe in Papua New Guinea that had had no contact with Western civilization before, and showed them pictures of emotion and asked them to interpret it and watch their emotional reactions to stimulus, like seeing a picture or hearing a story or something like that. And then replicated the pictures of them back with students in the U.S. and was able to show that all of this is completely reproducible across cultures. Mm-hmm. And so these facial muscle movements that he encoded and made this huge elaborate system to describe cross-cultural boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans to translate the research that you've done into bedside teaching, that sort of thing, with your students and residents?
Yeah, I do that informally whenever I'm on wards. There's a number of opportunities where I'll pick up on something that maybe the rest of the team didn't, and I'll highlight that I think emotion was playing a role. I think it probably helps me as a clinician even more than it helps me as an educator, just to make sure that the patients' emotions are being addressed, that when I pick up on a little bit of fear or sadness or worry, then I can sort of delve into that a little bit more. And then sometimes I use that as a window to kind of make a teaching point for the students or residents.
And you illustrated with an anecdote in your paper a patient's son, I think, if you could talk a little bit about that and how you picked up on his concerns.
Yeah, it was what was otherwise just routine rounds where we were seeing a patient that was going to go for orthopedic surgery, and we were discussing the plans with the team, and the son who we hadn't talked to a whole lot was at the bedside, and the resident was leading the discussion, and I think did a great job explaining things and asked for questions, and everything seemed to be okay. And then the team sort of headed out of the room, and I was watching the son as he sort of turned to go back towards the window, and I saw this expression on his face of significant sadness, and so I went over and put my hand on him and I said, are you okay? And he clearly wasn't, and started telling me why he was so worried and started crying. And so we were able to, you know, talk about his fears and talk through what he was worried about happening with his mom, and talk about, you know, in real terms, you know, what this surgery meant and what the likely outcomes would be. And I think maybe to address some of his fears in a much more meaningful way. And I think that helped him a lot. And I really think that even when I'm not necessarily specifically diagnosing an emotion, I think just having this training makes me more emotionally aware in general. So I think it's just made me more likely to pick up on subtle emotions.
And is there anything I've neglected to ask you that you would want our listeners to get out of your paper or your continuing research in this area?
I think for me, being able to pick up emotion through facial expressions is part of treating a patient humanistically. It's a part of treating the whole person. And I think trying to weave this into education more and more will make sure we're producing not only scientifically sound doctors with good clinical reasoning, good procedural skills, but also future doctors that are attuned to emotions and attuned to patients' needs beyond just the medical care that they're getting.
My thanks again to Dr. John Ragsdale of UK Internal Medicine. And as always, if you'd like to learn more, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.